Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. You ready to get in some fascinating research today?
Absolutely. I'm always up for a good deep dive.
Me too. Well, today we're going to be looking at the work of Meche Gergordabil. She's a psychology professor at the University of the Basque Country.
Oh, interesting. I've heard of her work.
Yeah, she's done some really interesting research on antisocial behavior in adolescents.
Antisocial behavior in teens? That's a pretty hot topic.
It is, and her research is really insightful. So let's just jump right in, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that really struck me was just how prevalent antisocial behavior is among teens.
Yeah, I mean, we all know teenagers can be a handful sometimes, but what are we talking about here, numbers-wise?
Well, get this. Gergordabil's research found that 16.6% of adolescents in the Basque Country show a high level of antisocial behavior.
Wow, 16.6%. That's not insignificant.
Not at all. That's a pretty sizable chunk of the teen population.
Yeah.
And it's not just about kids being a little rebellious either.
Right. Antisocial behavior can manifest in a lot of different ways.
Exactly. And Gergordabil's research actually identifies distinct profiles of antisocial behavior.
Like what?
Well, she talks about high risk and antisocial profiles, for example.
So there are varying degrees of severity.
Exactly. A teen in the high risk category might be more impulsive, maybe engaging in acts of rebellion.
While a teen with an antisocial profile might exhibit more calculated and callous behavior.
Exactly. It's a complex issue with a lot of nuances. So it's not as simple as just saying all teenagers are difficult.
No, definitely not. Now, when it comes to demographics, are there any particular groups that are more prone to antisocial behavior?
Well, that's what's interesting. Gergordabil found that gender doesn't play as big of a role as you might think.
Really? I would have thought boys would be more likely to exhibit antisocial behavior.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
There's that stereotype of the rebellious teenage boy. But Gergordabil's research shows that while boys do show a slight increase in antisocial behavior as they get older, the overall gender differences are minimal.
Huh. So girls are just as likely to engage in these behaviors.
It seems so. And here's another surprising find. Finding socioeconomic background and parental education level didn't seem to have a significant impact either.
That's unexpected. You'd think those factors would play a bigger role.
You would, but the research suggests otherwise. It seems like other factors are more influential when it comes to antisocial behavior in teens.
I'm curious what those factors might be.
One interesting finding was that teenagers who had sought psychological help in the past year showed higher levels of antisocial behavior.
Hmm, that's intriguing. Could it be that teens who are already struggling with antisocial behavior are more likely to seek help?
That's a possibility. Or maybe there are underlying mental health issues that contribute to both the psychological distress and the antisocial behavior.
It's like a chicken or egg situation.
Exactly. More research is needed to really tease that apart.
Yeah.
But let's shift gears a bit and talk about the link between personality and antisocial behavior.
Okay. That's something I've always been fascinated by. Are certain personality types more prone to antisocial behavior?
Well, Gergordabil's research found some interesting connections. One of the key findings is the role of empathy.
Empathy. That makes sense. I mean, if you can't understand or share the feelings of others, you're more likely to act in ways that might hurt them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So empathy, or the lack thereof, is a big factor. But she also looked at the big five personality traits.
Oh, you mean openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism?
Those are the ones.
Yeah.
And as you might expect, low agreeableness was linked to higher levels of antisocial behavior.
Well, yeah. People who are disagreeable tend to be more critical, antagonistic, even.
Right. And low conscientiousness also showed a strong connection.
Which makes sense, too. People who are low in conscientiousness are often impulsive and irresponsible.
Exactly. But here's where it gets a little more surprising. High neuroticism was also associated with antisocial behavior.
High neuroticism? Really? I wouldn't have guessed that.
I know, it seems counterintuitive because we tend to think of neuroticism as being anxious or withdrawn. But high neuroticism can also manifest as emotional instability.
Yeah.
And a tendency to experience negative emotions more intensely.
So it's about how those emotions are managed.
Precisely. And this leads us to another crucial factor that Gergordabil highlighted: emotional regulation.
Emotional regulation. Now, that's a big one. I think we all struggle with that to some extent.
We do. But it's especially important for teenagers because they're dealing with so many changes and challenges.
And if they don't have the skills to manage their emotions effectively, they might lash out, engage in risky behavior, or withdraw completely.
Exactly. So emotional regulation is a key piece of the puzzle when it comes to understanding and addressing antisocial behavior in teens.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like they haven't developed the tools to navigate that emotional roller coaster of adolescence.
Exactly.
So how does family dynamics play into all of this?
Well, Gergerdebil's research also delves into the impact of parenting styles on adolescent behavior. And the findings are really quite insightful. But I think we should save that discussion for part two of our deep dive.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm hooked. I can't wait to hear more about the role of parenting.
Me too. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be back soon with more fascinating insights from Mate Gergerdebil's research. Okay, so let's talk parenting styles. I know a lot of people are curious about this. What did Gergerdebil find in her research?
Well, she actually examined four main parenting styles, indulgent, authoritarian, and negligent. And the research suggests that parental acceptance and involvement are really crucial.
Okay, so how do those fit in with the four styles you just mentioned?
Well, her research showed that the indulgent parenting style was linked to the lowest levels of antisocial behavior in teens.
Indulgent. So that's like a very permissive kind of parenting.
Yeah, high acceptance, low coercion. Basically, the parents are very warm and loving, but they don't set a lot of rules or boundaries.
So you're saying that being more lenient can actually lead to fewer behavioral problems?
Well, that's what the research suggests. It could be that giving teenagers a certain level of autonomy helps them develop a sense of responsibility.
Makes you think. But of course, it's not a free-for-all, right? I mean, boundaries are still important.
Absolutely. Boundaries and expectations are still important. But it seems that a nurturing and supportive environment can really make a difference.
So it's about finding that balance between giving teens freedom and setting limits.
Exactly. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the authoritarian parenting style.
Authoritarian. So that's the my way or the highway approach.
Pretty much. Low acceptance, high coercion. The parents are strict. They emphasize obedience, and they often use punishment to enforce the rules.
And I bet that doesn't go over so well with teenagers.
You guessed it. The research found that this style was strongly associated with higher levels of antisocial behavior.
Yeah, I can see why. A parenting style that's all about control and punishment could actually backfire and lead to more rebellious behavior.
Exactly. It creates an environment of fear and resentment, which isn't exactly conducive to healthy development.
No, it's not. So what about the other two parenting styles you mentioned, authoritative and negligent?
Well, the authoritative style actually combines high acceptance with high coercion. So the parents are warm and supportive, but they also set clear expectations and consequences.
So it's like a middle ground between being too lenient and too strict.
Exactly. And this style was associated with relatively low levels of antisocial behavior.
So it seems like finding that sweet spot between warmth and structure is key.
It really does.
Yeah. You know,
negligent parenting, on the other hand, is a different story.
Negligent parenting.
Yeah.
So that's where the parents are basically uninvolved.
Right. Low acceptance and low coercion. The parents are emotionally detached and they don't really provide much guidance or support.
And I'm guessing that's not a recipe for success.
Unfortunately not. This style was linked to higher levels of antisocial behavior in teens.
Well, that makes sense. Teens need guidance and support from their parents.
Yeah.
They need to feel loved and accepted.
Exactly. And when those needs aren't met, they're more vulnerable to negative influences.
So it seems like parenting styles can have a huge impact on whether or not teenagers develop antisocial behaviors.
They absolutely can. But Gergerdebil's research also delved into other factors, like the link between antisocial behavior and problems at school.
Okay, like what kind of problems?
Well, one area she looked at was bullying.
Bullying. Yeah, that's a tough one. How did that tie in with antisocial behavior?
Well, she found that teens with higher levels of antisocial behavior were more likely to be both victims and perpetrators of bullying.
So it's a bit of a vicious cycle. Antisocial tendencies can lead to bullying behavior, and being bullied can make those tendencies worse.
Exactly. It's a complex interplay of individual factors and social dynamics, and it highlights the need for a multifaceted approach to addressing bullying.
You're saying it's not enough to just punish the bully or try to protect the victim?
Right. We need to create a school culture that promotes empathy, respect, and healthy social interaction.
So a culture where bullying simply isn't tolerated.
Exactly. A place where everyone feels safe and supported.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the teens who are already engaging in antisocial behavior. Is there any hope for them? Can these behaviors be unlearned?
That's a great question, and Gergerdebil's research actually offers some encouraging insights. But I think that's a perfect place to pause and pick up in part three.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. I like it. All right, everyone, we'll be back soon with more from Mate Gergerdebil's research.
So where were we? Oh, yeah, can antisocial behavior be unlearned?
Right.
Right, that's the big question.
Well, Gergerdebil's research suggests that it absolutely can be. But early intervention is key.
So the earlier we catch these behaviors and provide the right kind of support, the better the chances of turning things around.
Exactly. And her research points to some specific types of interventions that can be really effective.
Like what?
Well, one of the most important things is fostering empathy. You know, helping teens understand and share the feelings of others.
Yeah, we talk about how crucial empathy is. But how do you actually teach that?
There are a lot of different approaches, actually. Role-playing can be helpful, for example.
So like putting themselves in someone else's shoes?
Exactly. Group discussions can also be really powerful. Get teens talking about different perspectives and sharing their own experiences.
And even something like reading fiction can help develop empathy.
Oh, absolutely. By immersing themselves in stories, teens can explore a wide range of emotions and perspectives. It helps broaden their understanding of the human experience.
That's fascinating. So empathy is key. What else did Garrigore DeBell recommend?
Another crucial area is emotional regulation. You know, teaching teens how to manage their emotions effectively.
Right, because if they can't regulate their emotions, they're more likely to lash out or engage in risky behaviors.
Exactly. It's about giving them the tools to handle those intense emotions in a healthy way.
Like what kind of tools?
Well, things like mindfulness exercises can be really helpful, teaching teens how to be present in the moment and focus on their breath.
I can see how that would be helpful.
Yeah.
What about deep breathing exercises?
Those are great, too. They can help calm the nervous system and reduce stress. Even something as simple as journaling can be a powerful tool for emotional regulation.
Yeah, journaling can help teens process their thoughts and feelings. It's like having a safe space to work through things.
Exactly. And then there's conflict resolution.
Ah, yes, because conflict is inevitable.
Right.
We can't avoid it, but we can learn to handle it better.
Exactly. And that's what conflict resolution is all about. Teaching teens how to communicate assertively, listen actively, and find compromises.
It's about shifting from that win-lose mindset to a more collaborative approach.
Exactly. It's about working together to find solutions that work for everyone involved.
So these interventions aren't just about addressing antisocial behavior. They're about equipping teens with essential life skills.
Absolutely. And those skills will serve them well long after their teenage years are over.
That's really encouraging. You know, it's not about labeling teens or giving up on them. It's about understanding the factors that shape their behavior and providing them with the support they need to thrive.
Exactly. It's about empowering them to make positive choices.
And that's a powerful message.
Yeah.
I think Garrigore DeBell's research is really insightful and it gives us a lot to think about.
I agree. It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in supporting teens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whether we're parents, educators, or community members, we can all make a difference.
And by understanding the complexities of antisocial behavior, we can create a more compassionate and supportive environment for teens to grow and flourish.
So true. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up our deep dive today. We've covered a lot of ground, and I hope our listeners found it informative and thought-provoking.
I did too. It's always fascinating to delve into the research and explore these important topics.
Thanks for joining me today.
It was my pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for listening. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into the world of research.